This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Last point, alhamdulillah, we're not in the same room. But subhanAllah, I've been an amazing, amazing bio. And I can't be more proud to sort of introduce Umar and Amir as our keynote speaker, inshallah, bi'idhnillah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's such an honor and such a blessing to be here. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much for having me. It's so awesome, mashallah, to speak with you all. Alhamdulillah, we're working so hard for the sake of Allah on a Saturday. Let's talk about Ramadan. So many times when people speak with me with regards to Ramadan, it is about how they don't feel an emotional connection. They talk about how they can't really feel this month. They don't know how to get their hearts to feel connected. And I remember when I was in Hajj, there was a woman who was in my tent. And on the day of Arafah, we had been in the tent of Arafah all day. And then later on, we go to Mina. And she was so talkative before. And at this point, she's just down. She looks so down. And I asked her what's wrong. And she said, I didn't feel anything. I didn't cry a single time in Arafah. And in Arafah, we kept hearing, if you don't cry today, your heart is as hard as a rock. If you don't cry today, you have no hope. So she thought she had no hope for her Hajj because she didn't cry. But what's so powerful about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way that He focuses on our connection to Ramadan is He doesn't focus on feelings we can't control. He focuses on a feeling we can develop and the actions that we can take to get there. So he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is when the Quran was revealed. القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. So this Quran is a means of guidance. فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. For those who witness this month fast, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. For those who are sick or traveling fast on other days, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for you. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. He wants ease, not hardship. وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So you can praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be grateful. So Allah starts by talking about this month of Ramadan, ending with, so you can be grateful. The verses before this talk about developing taqwa with fasting. That's what we often hear about. We fast so we can develop God consciousness. But this verse that actually talks about the month of Ramadan, it ends with so you can develop gratitude. So you can be of the people of gratitude. Gratitude is an emotion you can actually work on developing. It isn't like, oh, I can't force myself to cry. I don't feel the sweetness in my heart. I don't feel the emotional connection of Tarawiyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking or requiring us to experience any of that. He's asking us to focus on the action. In this month, in this verse, he brings in the Quran, he brings in fasting, he talks about life, traveling, getting sick, that's part of life. He talks about ease for you, and then why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you can be the people who are grateful. Psychologists today talk about gratitude being an emotion that you feel towards someone else or that you express to someone else because of something that they've done for you that you don't even deserve, you didn't even ask for, but they gave it to you anyway. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I will surely increase you in that gratitude. I will surely increase you in those blessings. Imam al-Shawkani and so many other scholars of our history have talked about this verse, meaning if you are grateful for one thing, health, if you are grateful for, like, okay, what Hamda is grateful for is going to be different from what Huda is grateful for. What Bilal is grateful for is going to be different from what Haris is grateful for. So each one of you has something specific that you're grateful for. So for that thing, maybe when we're talking about your life, Obada, maybe you don't need the same thing that Suhaib needs. So what are you grateful in that specific thing about? That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase you in. And how do you actually develop that concept of gratitude through Ramadan? Beginning with the Quran. This is how we begin. This month is the month of fasting, of course. But so many people can't fast. They can't fast because of a medical condition. They can't fast because of a specific reason. And so many people talk to me about this. Maybe they're pregnant and they're in a high-risk pregnancy and they can't fast. Maybe they have diabetes and for their specific situation with diabetes, they can't fast. People who are struggling with specific eating disorders and with fasting can actually become life-threatening. And so their doctor has told them, if you fast, you can actually really harm your body. There are situations of people who wish they could fast, but they can't. And because of that, they feel like they can't experience Ramadan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts describing Ramadan with the Quran, which means that anyone can access Ramadan and feel connected to Ramadan by connecting to the Quran. This is the month that has blessed us with opening our hearts to a book in a way that can shift our lives, inshallah. When we look at people in our history, great scholars, we sometimes think, wow, subhanAllah, they were these amazing people. How do I become one of those amazing people? They didn't always start as these super righteous people who were born, memorized the Quran, and then spent their whole life doing that. Many of them had a history which they made tawbah from. They repented from. And then from that repentance, they came back to Allah. And because of their repentance, as Ibn Ata'illah mentions, that sometimes a sin will bring you closer to Allah because your humility and your regret for that sin will bring you to obedience. So these are scholars from the past who repented and came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of a sin or because of sins they committed, and then they had a moment with the Quran. Subhanallah, this moment with the Quran was them walking into a masjid or about to rob a burglar, as a burglar about to rob someone's home, or hearing this ayah when they're asleep, after falling asleep because they drunk themselves to sleep, like Malik ibn Dinar. He drank himself to sleep because he lost his daughter. And in that drunken state, he had a dream. And in that state, he heard an ayah. And that ayah caused him to make tawbah. And then he walked into that masjid and that same ayah was being recited. And then he became a great scholar of our history. This, the Quran, changes your life when you make the intention of how you're going to approach it. So many times when we talk about completing the Quran in Ramadan, we have this focus. I'm going to read all of the Quran in 1 month. I'm going to read all of it in 1 month. But many of us don't understand the Quran. Many of us don't speak Arabic. Even if you come from an Arab family, it doesn't mean that you're able to speak Arabic the way that the Quran does. It doesn't mean you're going to be able to understand it in the same way. So the people who were transformed by this book, they were transformed by this book. The pagans who became Muslim, who used to bury their daughters alive. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, we didn't used to think about women as anything. We didn't think of them as anything until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed what he revealed about them. The book that took men who would bury their daughters alive and inherit women like property. By the end of the life of Umar radiallahu anhu, who was a ruler of a huge Muslim empire, women were correcting him. And he would say, this woman corrected Umar. He was the one who was acknowledging women's voices and women's rights. As someone who had gone from someone who said, we didn't used to think of woman as anything. That type of shift in just such a short time period of generations. SubhanAllah, how did that happen? It happened because they took the Quran with understanding. So when you are thinking about your own experience with Ramadan, how often are you thinking about understanding the Quran versus completing it in Arabic as quickly as you can? Which in and of itself is worship. In and of itself, that is such a gift. Looking at the Mus'haf is ibadah. That is worship. Just holding the Mus'haf. If you can't read it, If you're going through something emotionally, maybe you've experienced spiritual trauma with the Quran. People tell me that they have physically been hurt, like actually like abused, because someone is like, memorize the Quran. And it just becomes so painful to them as children that they can't open it as an adult. How do you move forward from that and create your own narrative with the Quran, that you own your relationship with the Quran on your terms, not the terms that someone else has physically imposed upon you and caused you to feel this pain with it? A, therapy, definitely go to therapy. But B, it's through creating new experiences with the Quran. It's through taking the Quran, hugging it physically to your heart, and going out for a walk. And taking one verse and reading that verse over and over and over. And that form of worship, that tadabbur, that thinking about how does this verse relate to my life? While you're sitting on the tram, while you're walking through the crazy streets of London, whatever you are experiencing right now, you going through that with the Quran and seeing how those verses apply to your life. The ayah that I mentioned, if you are grateful, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The verse before it talks about Musa alayhi salam telling his people, remember how Allah saved you from the Ali Fir'aun, that he was killing your children. He was killing your boys. He's reminding them of the extreme trial they went through. And what? The next ayah talks about gratitude. Why? Researchers today say that when you are going through extreme hardship and you focus on what you can be grateful for despite the hardship, it actually changes the neurons in your brain and it allows you to live your life and approach the different facets of your life with a completely different perspective that will open doors for you that you didn't expect because you're looking for them. You're in a mindset where you can look for them. So when we're talking about gratitude and the Quran, it's looking like making the Quran your safe space so that when you're approaching Ramadan with the Quran, yes, you read as much of it as you can in Arabic, but you also take it in the lens of your own language that you understand and how to understand that verse in your life. For example, Asma radiallahu anha, she used to recite one verse over and over and over. I'd like you to take a second and think of someone that you love so much. Who is one person in your life that you just love? And that person might have already passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them and all of your loved ones and all of our loved ones. I'd like you to close your eyes and imagine standing in paradise. In front of you is a river of honey. On the side, you see an enormous palace made out of a pearl, bigger than anything you've ever seen before. And then you turn and you see a flower and you start to smell that flower. And the scent of that flower, you just can't even describe. And you're surrounded by this beauty. And then you feel someone cover your eyes. Someone is covering your eyes with their hands. You feel those hands. And then you pull them off. You turn around. Who is that face that you're looking at? Is that someone who's already passed away for you that you miss so much? Is it someone who you love right now who's with you that you can't imagine ever being without? Imagine living life, being in the grave, going through the day of judgment, coming into paradise, and then seeing that person that you are going to be with for eternity, inshallah. That joy, that shock, that gratitude. Asma radiallahu anha would repeat the ayah over and over again. وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. She was so grateful, repeating this verse over and over, that he protected us from the punishment. That she was living this verse. Taking the Quran as your safe space is living the verses in Ramadan. Taking an ayah and living it. Repeating it over and over. Tasting it. That experience, inshallah, will help bring a different perspective of Ramadan. And you can listen, for especially for sisters, on my Instagram, IGTV, at the Miriam Amir. And I have these on YouTube as well, on Miriam Amir. Women from all over the world reciting the Quran. All over the world. Quran reciters from Quran competitions. And hearing their stories on how they came to the Quran will move you to tears. Because each person has such a different path. And yet this connection, this language of connection. There are times that, alhamdulillah, I'm very blessed that, alhamdulillah, I was able to do the interviews in Spanish and in Arabic. So many different languages. But being able to have that connection of the Quran transcends. We had a woman from Indonesia who didn't really speak English, and I don't speak Indonesian. And subhanAllah, just hearing the Quran was the connection. This is the language of God. The Quran is the language of God. So how can you build that connection with Him? Take a portion you're going to read every single day in a translation and be consistent with that. That's the Quran. The second part that we're going to focus on, inshallah, is fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that His servant comes closer to Him through the obligations and then the voluntary. He's not asking you if you are working, taking care of your loved ones, taking care of a parent, a child, a sibling. You're exhausted and you wish that you could stand for tarawih and qiyam all night long. But you physically don't have the time or the ability or the energy to do everything you have to do. So what are you asked to do? You are asked for the obligation. And that is what will bring you closer to Allah. And fasting also impacts your actions, your character. That is what the point. How is it going to impact your character? And there was a scholar who passed away, and his son had a dream about him. Sulaiman ibn Mansur, he had a dream about him. And in this dream, he saw this scholar in paradise. And this is a scholar who was teaching Islam 24/7, studying 24/7, worshiping 24/7. What was the act that got him into paradise? It was teaching illiterate elderly woman Surah Al-Fatiha. Elderly woman who didn't know how to read, he taught them Surah Al-Fatiha. And because of that action, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entered him into paradise because of. You don't know, and inshallah all those other actions as well. But that is the one action that raised his status. You don't know what one good deed that you do for someone else, what kindness that you do for someone else, is going to raise your rank. So when you fast, focus on that. Everyone is going to be, inshallah, reading Quran. Everyone, inshallah, is fasting. But what is something that no one else is doing that you can do that's small but consistent that will raise your ranks in Ramadan? And maybe that looks like if your masajid are open, if your masjid is open and you have like the little water can lotas, maybe that looks like filling that up for other people. You don't know what action will take you into paradise. So focus on the small things you can do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about life. Traveling, getting sick, part of life in Ramadan. Of course, if we spent all Ramadan in Mecca, Medina, and Masjid al-Aqsa, how do you think your iman is going to be? Allahu Akbar, it's going to be incredible! But that's not our reality. Why is that not your reality? Because you have responsibilities. You have to go to school. You have to take care of your family members. You have to work. Whatever it is that you have going on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once with the companions who saw a strong young man walking by. They said it would have been better for him to go and be out for the sake of Allah, to fight for the sake of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that if this man was working to take care of young children, that is working for the sake of Allah. That is striving for the sake of Allah. If this man is working to financially support his parents, that is taking care, working, striving for the sake of Allah. If this man is working to protect himself from falling into poverty so that he himself can take care of himself, that is striving for the sake of Allah. If we're talking about how do we become the people who strive for the sake of Allah, what you're doing with the intention is striving for the sake of Allah. And I remember when I really struggled with shifting my responsibilities, all I wanted to do was worship, but I couldn't. I just didn't have the time to sit and read Quran all day and all night and fast and then do tarawih and qiyam all day and all night. It's just not realistic for our schedules most of the time. But I spoke to one of my teachers and he said, listen, Ibn al-Ta'illah says that if you want to do other things, you wish you could get out of your responsibilities so you could do other things, that is from your own hawa. It is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He places these responsibilities on your plate. Taking care of kids, working, going to school, whatever you're doing, you have these responsibilities on your plate and you wish that you could cast them all aside and do nothing but worship. Why? Because they are the worship Allah has put in your hands. This is the worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in your life. And with the worship that He has put in your life, you make the intention that whatever you're doing, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, whatever you're doing is for the sake of Allah. And فَرْضِيَةُ الْوَقْتِ, Ibn al-Qayyim mentions, you have priorities in your time. So how can you, with what you already have, which are all forms of worship, as long as you make the intention, also make extra time for your heart with God? How can you make dhikr while you are taking care of your responsibilities more? Sending salawat on the Prophet ﷺ, did you know that in At-Tabari, Uthman radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet ﷺ how many angels we have? And the Prophet ﷺ described all these angels that are with us. And the angels are a form of bringing mercy and blessings and protection into your life. When you make dua and they say ameen, that dua is accepted. But there are two angels on your lips waiting for you to send salawat on the Prophet. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad. Your sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises your ranks in paradise and in this life. It is a means of your forgiveness and it's a means of receiving greater reward. You can do that no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are. Sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a form of perfecting your fast, because it brings you closer to the one who lost everything in the moments of declaring his faith, through intense hardship, kept on to his faith. And in this month in which the Quran was revealed, it brings you closer to the one who recited those words on his lips from Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, the same words that you're reciting. And that is ease. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرُ. That is ease. He wants ease for you. How do we look at ease in this month? I want to focus on just one thing, especially because we're running out of time and I'm going to close up really fast. How do we do ease in this month? I want you to think about dua. The biggest question I get about Ramadan and feelings is dua. I don't think my dua is being accepted. I've been praying for something for 10 years. It hasn't happened yet. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired your tongue to make dua, He wants to answer it. That is what the scholars of our past have said. Your tongue making that dua in and of itself is a sign that He wants to reply to you. He says, pray to me, I will answer you. He promises He will answer. So when you are thinking about your sins and you're thinking about, I've asked for forgiveness, but He hasn't forgiven me. I want to be forgiven and I'm making dua to be forgiven, but I don't feel like I've been forgiven. Even though you've left your sins and you're trying, He wants ease for you. When you hold on to your hatred for yourself, your self-loathing, there was a man who walked into the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, overwhelmed, distressed, looking so down. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him what was happening. And he was saying, "My sins, my sins." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded with something to say. "Allahumma, my Lord, your forgiveness is greater than my sins, and my hope in your mercy is more than the hope I place in my own actions." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to say this one time, two times, three times, and then he said, "Stand up, you've been forgiven." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't tell him, "Okay, now for the next 5 years, feel terrible about what you've done and just keep thinking about what a terrible person you are because of what you've done." He told him, "Stand up, you've been forgiven. You are promised by Allah that when you ask, when you make dua for forgiveness, He promises you forgiveness, as long as you're also trying to change. And even if you're struggling with being able to change, keep asking for forgiveness and ask Him to help you change. But He promises to the one who repents that He will accept their repentance and that He will forgive them." Subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just realized that we're completely out of time. So I'm going to end right now, inshallah. I'm so sorry. But I'll end with saying, start a gratitude journal every day of Ramadan. Write 3 things that you're grateful for in that day. And look at the Quran with that. Work on 1 thing in terms of your character that you could do that's like a secret deed. And with all of that, remember, life is worship and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for you. He's there for you. He listens to you. He is the generous because He is the generous, not because of something you've done. So whether or not you feel deserving of His generosity, know that He gives it anyway, because that's simply who He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.
JazakAllah khair, thank you so much. We have a few minutes for what's it called, some Q&A, if you have the time.
Yes, go ahead.
Inshallah, bi-ibnillah. One question that has come through in the chat is, what if you can read the Quran, but you don't understand the words that you're reading because you don't know Arabic?
Yeah, I really recommend just reading the translation. Start with the translation. This is how I started. I didn't know any Arabic until I studied Arabic. And so I started with the translation, and the translation changed my life. Reading the translation every single day changed my life. It set my life course completely from a different path than I had ever imagined. So don't underestimate the importance of just a translation. And if you go to Quran.com, Quran.com has a bunch of different translations you can try out and see which one you feel like you can understand best. And then you can purchase that particular translation and you can just focus on that translation, inshallah.
Inshallah, jazakallah khair. Are there any other questions from our attendees? In Sha'ban, how do we prepare is one question that we've just got come through.
So I would focus on 3 things. And they're really based on your personal goals. But we just talked about gratitude, and I would focus on how do I develop my gratitude from now so that inshallah I can be prepared for Ramadan. So a gratitude journal, doing tadabbur with Quran, taking 1 verse a day and just sitting and thinking about how it reflects, how does it impact your life. The second thing is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many of us think we know Allah, but what we do is we project our own insecurities onto Allah. And we feel like He thinks about us the way we think about ourselves. But He says, "I am as my servant thinks I am." So if you're going to be making dua and you're like, "Oh Allah, please bless me with this thing." And in your head, you're just like, "I know He's not going to give it to me. I know He just wants to test me. Why would He give it to me when He knows I want it so badly?" Why would you think about Allah like that? Why would you put Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this terrible, horrible way? You wouldn't want someone else thinking about you like that. So how about Allah? I would recommend purchasing the book, Reflecting on the Names of Allah. You can also read this online on virtualmosque.com by Gina and Yusuf. Gina and Yusuf has a collection, Ustadha Gina and Yusuf has a collection of articles on virtualmosque.com called The Names of Allah series. But she's written a more comprehensive book that comes with a journal that has audio that you can listen to, scholars talking about how they personally interact with the names of Allah. And it has a journal where you can write your goals with the names of Allah. How do you connect with the names of Allah? And really, this is where it starts. When you get to know who Allah is, this is what changes your life. so that you don't focus on the why. Why is this happening to me? Why didn't that happen to me? Why didn't this get answered the way I wanted to? And instead you can focus on the who, because I know he's Al-Hakim and he has something better for me. You can focus on the who instead of the why. And that is just so transformational. So Reflecting on the Names of Allah, and that is by Gina and Yusuf. You can get it on Amazon, and they have the journal that comes with it. It's two separate books. And then finally, the last thing is really istighfar. Just sitting and asking for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't want you to feel like this is, I don't mean this as an oppressive way. I mean this in like, how can I ask for Allah's blessings? Because making istighfar, asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, is a form of blessings coming into your life. Nuh, Prophet Noah alayhi salam, he talks about فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Ask for the forgiveness from your Lord. And then why? The verses keep going and say, he will send blessings upon blessings to you. So it's just sitting and taking time to just sit and say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And with that, the more you say astaghfirullah, the more it will increase you in gratitude for all you've been given, despite the fact you don't deserve it. So then you say alhamdulillah, because you're not focused on you anymore. You're focused on the one who gives regardless.
I'm on mute. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. We have time for one more question. So the final question that we have that's come through is, do you recommend a certain Quran translation, or are any Quran translations doable?
My personal favorite right now is Mustafa Khattab. I really like his translation. But you can read any translation on Quran.com. Just Quran.com. They have a list of translators. And just read the translations and see which one you feel like you connect with most.
Jazakallah khair. And where can people find you on your socials or YouTube?
Yes, if you have any questions, inshallah, you can contact me on Instagram. It's at the Maryam Amir. Themaryamamir. And also on YouTube has a bunch of lectures from the past of women reciting the Quran, etc., inshallah. But Instagram is the best way for contacting me. I'm also on TikTok, which is at the Maryam Amir.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. That's all the time that we have for questions. Thank you so much
Thank
for joining
so much.
Us.
Thank you for having me.
Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much.
It was an honor. Thank you so much for having me. Assalamu alaikum.
مع السلامة.